Blog Talk Radio.
Singer, songwriter, musician, actor, author, intellectual, movie director, video director, designer of album covers, and podcaster. Here is Dub Knight.
You know, it's really sad to say things that are dark or negative, but I'm a very positive person. I prefer to talk about everything positive, but in order to be a really clear and healthy person, I have to talk about whatever's on my mind, so both the light and the dark, in order to be clear-headed. So that's really how I believe the world is supposed to be for human beings. Clear out, talk about the good times, and talk about the bad times. Clear out anything through communication. Talk about whatever's on my mind in order to be healthier. Because if we put things under the rug, we won't get healthy and make it worse. So for me, it's to be healthy. Excuse me, I have a bad cough, but I try to be very healthy, and I'm always going to talk about things that are positive for the most part, but as I said before, in order to be a healthy person, I have to clean out my closet, clean myself by communication, so I can be a healthier person. At the same time, it may help somebody out there who listens to me, because I didn't realize it, but I now realize it now. And my podcast may, some people out there may be listening to some of my podcasts. So I said that before, that I have to be aware of what I say online, so whatever I talk about, so people can understand. And the way I talk and the way I correlate to what I say, to have some effect on somebody out there. So in that way, that would be a good thing. But I always just strive to be positive, and that's the number one goal. So, you know, some things are personal. Yeah, you don't want to blurt out everything, but in order to be healthy, we have to tell the truth. You know, or, you know, or face whatever is coming to us in an honest manner for we can be healthier. For me, it has been a very difficult life. I don't want to say bad life, but it has been very difficult. You know, I've never felt really loved on this planet, you know. I never felt loved, you know, by people, respected for who I was, you know. I wasn't given the tools to love thyself, because you know, the world was cruel. You know, as a child, you know, as a very little young child, I was just trying to find myself on this planet to be who I need to be. And I came across children in my neighborhood who made fun of me and started calling me names who I didn't know. That will be a common theme of what I call, you know, something's wrong, you know, when other children make fun of you for no reason. You know, being made fun of was cruel, but I didn't have the tools to handle it, because no one told me to ignore or to say something's wrong with them, or children are cruel. I was just, you know, that was that, but it kept persisting. Then it got to the point where, as a child, young child, I felt, God, is the world dangerous? Because the world came off as a dangerous place. seeing other children pick on me for nothing, harass me for no reason. And I said, dude, is something wrong with these children? They got psychological problems, and seeing chaos at home and chaos around me and violence. So it was a very, I came across, what the world came across to me as a very dangerous place. But being made fun of and being ignored as I got older, I wasn't the most popular child. I wasn't the smartest, and I wasn't the, you know, the most beautiful. But, you know, I was trying to find my place as well, but my self-esteem was low because I was always being made fun of, called names all the time. But I eventually did learn to love myself, even when the whole world didn't love me. So I had to learn to love myself, but it was at a child, I didn't have the tools. So it was just an inner thing to survive. Survive, survive, survive. I think that was the goal, was to survive, not die, you know. So certain people, certain children, I had to stay away from, you know, because they were dangerous, you know, and it wasn't a safe place. So self-esteem wasn't taught to me to like myself. And I wasn't really, there was no recognition. People didn't recognize me for being a little smarter, but I wasn't really recognized for that. People did recognize my art skills, but I had very little recognition for that, too. But it was okay. I just had to, you know, I had to survive. But it got worse as I got older because all the stuff that I was putting up with, coping with all the stuff for years throughout my childhood, started to catch up to me when I was 13 or 14. So I couldn't cope. It was too many problems. It was outside of me. It was a very dangerous situation. So I had, you know, being quiet and shy was not the key. I couldn't cope no more. So I had to tell people, somebody, how I felt. You know, and, you know, the thing is that in junior high and high school, I didn't do too well. And, you know, one big reason why I didn't do too well in college or high school was too much chaos at home. It was no way I could concentrate. It was too much chaos. And also at school, you know, I was fighting with the other kids who were making fun of me, throwing things at me. But through it all, I had, you know, the thought of loving myself was very difficult because I wanted to fit in. I didn't know how to be, love myself, you know. But the truth is, I found a way to survive, and that was part of loving myself. So I still found a way to love myself, even when the world didn't at that time. So I told somebody about what was going on. When I think back, maybe I could just keep my mouth shut because people misunderstand me. I think because I have a unique style in the way I interact, I didn't realize that the world was so ignorant. In my opinion, I said, oh, they must be very ignorant about things, you know, because, you know, people were calling me retarded or slow. And the thing is, I had above average IQ, and they treated me like my IQ was lower, and it wasn't. And I said, God, they're so ignorant. Then they were treating me like, because I had my own style, it was normal, that I have some mental health issue, and I didn't. I was just unique. They were putting people, children, particularly at that time, which will also play a role in my life now, that people who are unique have their own style, you know, dress differently, walk differently, don't follow the status quo, listen to different music, that something was wrong with them mentally. And that was not true. That was certainly not true, but I said, oh, they're ignorant. So I had to try to love myself even if the world don't, but the world didn't. I didn't feel the world loved me. I didn't feel, even members of my family didn't love me at that time. I didn't feel love. I felt put down, harassed, put down, caught names and stuff. No one taught me how to love myself. So I went on to teenagehood, and because of all that, I suffered depression because of the bad experiences. As particularly, I had, you know, coping mechanisms, and then I lost my cat. My cat, little cat, died, and then it was the trip to Washington when all those children were making fun of me. Didn't want to sit next to me, and I didn't think much about it because the children were cruel. And also other stuff was going on. I didn't know if it affected me, but I kept everything in. So I got depressed. And it played a role why, you know, everything altered at 15, because it wasn't just that, it was because too much trauma. It really was actually post-traumatic stress disorder. I was suffering from traumatic experiences. Also being a victim of crime at a young age, getting mugged, and some other, I don't want to get into it, but I didn't feel I could love myself. So I got to the point where I had to go and get help, and it wasn't the right place, because the place that I got helped were abusing other children. It was abuse. So I'm like, how can I feel like I can get help? Because I couldn't stay with where I was growing up, because it was too much violent. I wasn't aware of it, that my household was, I couldn't stay with whoever I was staying with because it was too much violence as a child. I got, you know, fighting all the time, going to prison. I was a goody two-shoe. I learned at a young age to be a goody two-shoe. Because people around me seemingly were not. And I had to be a goody two-shoe. But I wasn't in a home where I could be myself. You know, I have to be healthy. But I was in another place where they were abusing children and doing all kinds of things. And then I realized that, you know, then as my mind grew, I didn't fit in with other people my age. They, you know, they went to pop, they wanted to be cool, you know, the norm. When I say norm, I mean in a philosophical way, shallow. They wanted to be like everybody else. And I was not that person. I tried to fit into the certain people because the truth is, if I tried to do what I needed to do in my neighborhood or whatever, my life could have been in danger. So I had to, and then I found out some people, religious beliefs, you know, they were looking at music videos like Madonna, like a Prayer, one video, and they said it was devil worship, and I was like, that is ridiculous. That's ridiculous. That's so ridiculous. I was like, that is backward thinking. Especially where I come from. I come from Buffalo, and Buffalo is very, supposedly liberal. It's very liberal. You know, New York State, very liberal. So I couldn't deal with that because I thought that was still being an idiot. I ain't going to say who. And then I didn't fit into people to try to socialize either when I was 18, 19. And finally, when I was 18, 19, you know, but after 17, 16, 14, my music and interest in music developed. And the way to me to deal with it was that I got into rock music. What was famous at that time? Well, it was grunge and glam rock, you know, as I got older. And I got into it, and I needed to vent because I needed to scream because no one taught me. They didn't, you know, they didn't take care of PTSD issues from a child or victim of abuse or a victim of crime. They treated it like, you know, they treated like some of these psychologists. It was just idiots. They didn't have the tools to help the children at that time. Oh, you had a severe diagnosis of schizophrenia. There was no schizophrenia. If someone, if I'd been recuperating from getting mugged and almost getting, I could have got killed or a very bad experience. That has nothing to do with schizophrenia. That has to do with just plain a trauma, what a traumatic experience could do. I didn't hear voices or see things or something like that. So it was PTSD. And it was because of trauma. I didn't realize that these people were ignorant. So I didn't feel like I could love myself. But finally, I realized I had to. So somebody told me to just accept and embrace who I am. I'm glad that I met one person who briefly told me, you know, don't listen to what other people tell you. Like myself for who I am. And, you know, realize something is wrong with them, not me. If they can't accept my uniqueness or my style or the way I live, then something is wrong with them. And then that person said, you know what? Maybe you should go to Los Angeles because I was in the rock music. You'd be more accepted. Think about it now because I had no intentions of going to Los Angeles. I was into rock and roll, and I eventually wanted to go into career, and I wasn't thinking about Los Angeles. Ironically, I did come to Los Angeles because another bad experience was because I was forced out of college. I didn't want to leave college because I wanted to find myself, and I wanted to take music classes, and I was trying bands all over town, and I felt my identity was being compromised when they didn't let me make my choices for myself because as a child, I was inhibited. And I felt I should have a right to make the choices I had. So when I was forced out of college, couldn't take music theory, so I left. So I came to Los Angeles. I was still dealing with those issues when I was, you know, all those child abuse, teenage angst, all the baggage, being a victim of almost, you know, a victim of this, a victim of that. But I was stronger. I was fearless, and I came out, and I was trying to make it in music, but also to find another place to live where I could be me. Little did I know that this would be a process that would take a whole lifetime because, you know, Hollywood, going into the, trying to make it in business, Hollywood is very difficult. And at that time, I had all, you know, the ambition. Took me, you know, first year I was trying to find a place to live, and then I happened to start writing songs, and then I did go on stage. I realized I had to, so I did that a lot. And eventually, it took me over a year or two, and then I finally made my demo. And the demos were made, And then I didn't realize I had to do something with the demos because I wanted to be an artist. I wanted to be a performer. The performing part is great, but in order but I can't be a success at it unless I be a business person. The business person is what makes the artist become successful. If you don't be a business person, then you can't make it in the music business. So I tried to get managers and I had to go to those record companies. There were people who took on solicitations at that time, and I was rejected by a bunch. I didn't feel good about myself, but I had the tenacity to keep doing it because, you know, I had to find a way to love myself, even when they didn't. Hollywood did not embrace me, even on stage, and I was trying to find my way, and I kept writing. The only thing that some people recognized was my songwriting, but I still didn't get recognized. And until this day, I was not offered any contract to or any money or anything for my songwriting, which is so sad. you know, I spent 33 years doing it, you know. I'm not afraid to not admit to it because it was a very long time. The only money that I get was very, very little pennies, few cents counted over a month, few cents for releasing it on an indie label, or getting a very little bit of money from BMI. That was pretty much it. I was, you know, and I was never recognized for my singer songwriting. But at that time, you know, they rejected me 10 companies, 20 companies, and it was very hard to take, especially coming from my background outside music. My background outside music, I was a victim of this and victim of that, and alienated, an outcast, you know, tossed, chewed up and spit out by the world. And then I have all these music to write, and no one recognized me for it, and no one gave me a contract. So some people would just couldn't take it. They probably just give up then, but I did not. So tenacity was one thing that I developed as a young age. I wasn't aware, but be tenacious was the way to do it. But it was for the good, only for the right things. I realized being tenacious, you only do it for good things, not bad things. You know. So I had, you know, and then another person came into my situation and told me again to embrace who I am, my uniqueness, embrace who I am, and not listen to people who are ignorant. Because I guess this person was more insightful because she kind of just looked at me and just, okay, you have my own unique style, but that's not my artist. Artists have their own unique style. The truth is, in the entertainment industry, there's a lot of people who look different. They dress differently, you know, or they have their own unique style. They have their new, you know, that's part of the originality of what attracts and makes people successful. But for me, I've had my own unique style, but I was still very, very aware. The wisdom that I acquired was to be who I am. And yes, I wanted to be the best. I wanted to be around the best, but, you know, the best people, the good people. So I embrace who I am, but it had to come from within to embrace who I am. So, because this person told me that, you know, it wouldn't make a difference unless I embraced myself. And I really had to, because I realized, oh gosh, there are people who are simply not aware of diversity, and they're too ignorant, or they're too bigoted, or they're too, you know. So, you know, it was very hard. So I kept doing it, and I kept making demos, and I kept building compilations. I went to Sunset Strip, and I sung. You know, the bands didn't work out and so on. So my Hollywood dream did not happen at that age. It was painful for me because I spent so many years trying to make it and I did not get recognized. You know, it's painful when I write, sing or make a song and never got any money or anything to show for it, not much of anything, just be ignored or just simply forgotten. But I also realized at this time I started to really love myself and I stopped looking outside at other people to do it. So I love myself even if the whole world didn't. So that was true. As an adult, you know, I'm still made fun of. You know, they looked at my jogging pants, they looked at the way I looked, and but I still had to love myself, even if they didn't like me. So I learned that. The unfortunate thing about trying to be myself and being in the entertainment industry, trying to be ambitious, is that on the other side of the coin, I had to be very careful and wise about who I was dealing with in the real world. Because while I was dealing with the everyday struggles of just trying to make it in the industry or trying to succeed and trying to find my way, I was attracting something I had no anticipation of attracting. I was attracting these ignorant people, or these people come from however dark side, the other side of the tracks, who are looking for victims to take down. and they were looking at me as a victim, so looking at me to manipulate, or wanted or fell in love with me when they didn't even know. So I said, these people got mental problems, and so these are people totally the opposite who I'm not attracted to. So I'm like, something is wrong if I'm attracting people like this. You know, because I like to be attracted, you know, I had a sophistication. I like to be attracted to people who are good, law-abiding, who don't do bad things. I like to be attracted to highly educated or people who aspire to be something who try to better the world, and no matter what color, you know, who are, who know what, you know, wants to be somebody or and do good things for people and be good. But unfortunately, there's the other side, which, you know, the unfortunate stalker, the crazy person, the person who's a criminal, and I did not want to be attracted to that. What I'm doing is a black hoodlum in my neighborhood or who's obsessed with me or who I don't know, who comes from the other side of the woods, as I've seen, who simply don't like me for no, even though I don't know them. And, you know, I'm like, you know, it doesn't matter what race it is. I don't hang out with hoodlums regardless of color. As far as the African-American community concerned, I want to hang out with African-Americans who are really highly sophisticated, who are really good with themselves and want to do good. You know, I want to hang out with people who want to be artists or want to be intellectuals or want to do something good to the world, not to some criminal who wants to use me. I'm not attracted to a convict or a drug kingpin or drug dealer or drug user or someone with a severe mental problem who's jealous of me trying to succeed not only in music but in academia. But I had to go back to school to try to better myself, you know. I can't sacrifice my dreams for someone's jealousy because they look at my color of skin and they have this whole picture of what I should be when actually they don't know me. I'm an individual. They shouldn't look at each person by race, look at their personalities, and they don't do it. They keep coming around saying that I, you know, they're offended by what music I listen to. They're offended by my rock music. They said I'm not acting like a black person. I said, that's ignorant. I don't believe that. I don't want to hang out with no racism. Black racism is wrong. We are, you know, there are good and bad in all races. We are all equal. I'm going to hang around black people who are open-minded and who knows how to mind their business and who knows boundaries. But they keep coming around, so it's a reminder that it's so dangerous to be a minority in this society. So I had to be careful, so I had to love myself, even if the world don't. And when the world don't, you know, attracting people who are not the type to be with, you stay away. That's why I always say, negative situations, negative people, always bring negative consequences. You have to stay away from the negative, regardless of what, it doesn't matter what race or religion or where they come from. When you get to know people, my sense is be careful who you're with. Because if you hang around with a criminal, you can fall down like a criminal. It's negativity brings negativity. But then I attracted this white guy or these other Latin guys or something who were criminals. This white guy was so racist. He's saying he wanted to hang me. You know, he don't like the way I live. I'm like, this ain't 1940. He acting like it's before the Civil Rights Movement. I said, this guy must be a racist. Who is he? I think he's from down south, southeast. Okay. That's not what I need. I know racism exists in a society. I don't need that. Okay, I don't believe that. He said he's far right. Okay. I have no problem with people's religious beliefs or what they believe, but do not attack me for being an African-American or do not attack me for just being an individual. I don't want to be seen as an African-American. I want to be seen as just an American. I'm an American person. Okay, I see myself as colorblind, so I'm a mixture of all colors on this planet. We are all the same. You know, my heroes are Dr. King, but my heroes are heroes of all types. I have Mother Teresa or, you know, those are my heroes. Or, you know, in politics, I have heroes, you know, You know, I like, you know, rock music since I'm a musician. I like John Lennon. I like Jimi Hendrix, but I'm also like Madonna. Then I like country. I like a mixture. I'm very progressive politically. So if you think about who I am, progressive means up to date. So that's where I am. I have to love myself. So that will be the last part of the show. And then it'll be the second part of I Love Myself Even If the World Don't. In the next episode. Good day, good night from Dubai.